This is session number 66 of the Gospel according to John. We're in John chapter number 10. And last time we saw Jesus speak forth the parable of the door and the sheep and the good shepherd. Last time we just kind of broke down the parable piece by piece as if we didn't have the interpretation. How would we break it down piece by piece? Based on the information that Jesus Christ gave. And that's what we did. And that's how we seek to find the true interpretation of parables where the interpretation isn't given, or of visions where the interpretation isn't given, as there are many in the scriptures. But praise God, in this passage, Jesus is going to interpret the parable, although he's not going to give the full interpretation of every piece, but he's going to hone in on the important parts, which are really going to be pointing to himself. And so today we're going to come to the interpretation. We're not going to get through the whole thing. The interpretation is going to be found in verses 7 through 18. But we'll probably only make it through verse 10 in this session. So let's read verses 7 through 10. And then by the grace of God, we will expound the text. John chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This is going to be a beautiful passage, and we need to drink these words in. Please, God, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, spirits to rejoice in thee. And Lord, just firm conviction and desire and setting of our will and affection on you to fulfill what you've set before us. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus says to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you. I love that phrase. We keep seeing it over and over all through the gospel according to John. This is Christ doctrine. He is the master. And those who truly submit under Christ's doctrine will ultimately be his disciples. Because, as Jesus already revealed in earlier chapters, his doctrine is not his own doctrine that he's making up. His doctrine is the doctrine of him that sent him. That's the Father himself. So he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, and notice where Christ begins with the interpretation of this parable. It's ironic because in the parable itself, when he told it back in the beginning of the chapter, he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that cometh not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. The first person he really focuses in on when he's telling the parable is the thief and the robber. But when it comes to the interpretation, that's not who he's going to focus on first. He's going to point them to himself first. Listen, all through the New Testament, all through Jesus' teachings, and all through the apostles' preaching, the gospel is always Christ-centered. It's always drawing men's attention back to Jesus Christ. Just like in the book of Isaiah, he says, Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, and beside me there is no Savior. It's him. Look to him. In Revelation, when Jesus appears to John, John falls flat on his face as a dead man. Jesus touches him and says, Fear not, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Christ doesn't strengthen John and say, Wow, John, you're amazing. You're awesome. Look at who you are in me. No, he says, I am. I am. And right here, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. This is the fourth I am of the Gospel of John. And this I am, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. Now in his parable, there's only one door into the sheepfold. Only one door. Back in the book of Genesis, when God told Noah to build that ark for him and his family and the animals to be saved from the coming wrath of God, he told him to build one door in that ark. In the book of Exodus, when God had his people build a tabernacle for him out in the wilderness, and also later in the book of 1 Kings, when God had Solomon build that temple for his honor and his name and his glory, in both the tabernacle and the temple, there's only one door whereby you could enter in. Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus Christ is the door into the sheepfold, into the true people of God, into the true fellowship and true congregation of the saints, into the true household of God. Jesus Christ is the door. It's Christ and his gospel. In Acts 14, verse 27, Paul and Barnabas rehearse with the church how that through them the door of faith had been opened to the Gentiles. How was the door of faith opened to the Gentiles? It was through them being able to preach Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection, his gospel to the Gentiles. That's how the door of faith was opened. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12, Paul talks about when he went to Troas, how a door was opened to preach Christ's gospel. I am the door of the sheep. Now, verse 8, he's going to say, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. We'll talk about that in a second. Right now, we're going to focus on the door. In verse 9, he says it again, twice, verily, verily. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Again, just going to focus on the door for right now. He says, I am the door by me. Notice, it's all about him. He's drawing their attention to him because he is their only hope to be saved. Notice, by me. Notice that key word, by. Pay very careful attention. John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. All things are of the Father, but all things are by Christ. Just note that key word. He said, by me. By me what? If any man enter in. Notice if. This is conditional. This is not guaranteed. This is conditional. If. If what? Any man. Hallelujah. The offer is to any man. Matthew 22, verse 9 and 10, we know in that parable, once the people who were invited to the wedding refused, then we know what happened. That invitation to the wedding went to every man. He said, go out and invite them all. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. He says, if any man enter in, you got to enter in by the door. It's only one door. We know what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That's a command. Jesus Christ commanded his disciples, those who were following him and listening to his word, he commanded them, enter in at the straight gate. He said, if any man enter in, what will happen? He shall be saved. The only way to be saved is by entering in by Christ. We looked at it last time, but let's bring it up again. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 21. Jesus Christ, because of his blood, he's made a new and living way into the holiest of all, the most holy place. And the scripture says he has consecrated this way through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. God revealed the understanding to Paul that the veil that was ripped in half in the temple represented the flesh of Christ. It represented the body of Christ that was broken for us. His body was broken. The veil was rent so that finally we could have access to enter in and be saved. Christ is the door. He said, I am the door. We're going to see in a second, he's the good shepherd. How is he the door and the good shepherd? He's the door as the crucified Son of Man who allowed his body and flesh to be torn, his blood to be spilt. And if you go in through that door, if you go in through the cross of Jesus Christ, if you're willing to partake of his death, partake of his sufferings, and enter in by the blood, by the new and living way, you can enter into the holiest. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, but it's only by Christ and his cross. This is why the gospel, the true gospel of Christ, must be preached. Paul said, God didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So he preached Christ crucified. He says, by me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. And guess what else? And shall go in and out and find pasture. Hallelujah. Shall go in and out, in and out, and find pasture. Shall go in and out. When you look in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 12 through 16, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it talks about David, how he led the people of God out and in and out and in. He went out and in and out among the people. What does that mean? It's talking about how he led the people of God out into battle and then back in with the spoils and the victory. Out into battle and then back in for some safety and some rest. Out into battle and back in for some rejoicing. That phrase in the scriptures going out and in and out, he's talking about for battle. In Acts 1 verse 21, Peter says, Jesus went in and out among us. Amen. When Jesus Christ came in his ministry, he wasn't just going around as some hippie lover, just trying to make people feel good about themselves and encourage them. In fact, that's not what he was doing at all. If that's what your perspective is of Jesus Christ, you don't know who Jesus Christ is. No, Jesus Christ went in and out among the apostles and among the disciples. You know what Jesus Christ came to do? He came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus went from village to village, town to town, city to city in Israel. And what did he do? He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's preaching repentance. He's coming against the works of the devil. He's casting out devils. He's driving out the power of Satan. He's healing sickness and healing disease. He's going in and out, in and out. He goes out, he does the work of the Lord, he fights the battles of the Lord, then he retires for the night, either in a home or in a mountain, spends time in prayer to the Father, in and out. What was David doing as the future king and then ultimately as the king known as the shepherd of Israel? What was he doing? You know what he was doing? Was he was clearing the territory for God's people so that they might have pasture. There were enemies in the promised land. The enemies of God were encroaching and taking territory that belonged to Israel. And as a good king, he didn't sit back like Saul in his house in fear and command other people to go fight the battles. No, he led them forth into victory. He'd go in and out, fighting battles to clear the territory for God's people to have a place of rest and a place of peace and a place of pasture. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ was doing in the spiritual realm. And that's exactly what the apostles did. When you see Paul and Barnabas and then later Paul and Silas and the teams that went out, they would go out from the church and they would go preach, 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 start building little churches, and then they'd come back in. and they'd rehearse and they'd refresh, and then they'd go out and they'd go into new territory and revisit old territory, and they'd come back in. What are they doing? They're clearing territory. Now, David was doing it physically. He had a physical sword and taken out flesh and blood, actually killing human beings, physical enemies. Jesus wasn't taking a physical sword, and the apostles weren't taking physical swords. They're taking the spiritual sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And by the preaching of the true gospel, the preaching of repentance, the preaching of the doctrine of Christ, what are they doing? They're clearing out spiritual territory so that the sheep can have pasture. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Look, if the enemies have overtaken all territory, there's no place for the sheep to have pasture. But we're going to see Jesus, the good shepherd, he's both the door and the good shepherd. He's going to lead the way in and out. And once he went back to heaven, he sent his apostles to go in and out to clear out pasture for the sheep. Jesus didn't just build a nice sheepfold and, you know, get a nice fireplace and a hearth and, you know, let's just stay here where it's safe and cozy and just let the enemies do whatever they want out there. No, no, no. No, going in and out and finding pasture. That's what a good shepherd does. He leads the way for the sheep into good pasture, green pastures, still waters. But here's the good news. If we are faithful to go out and come in, amen, we need more shepherds like Jesus, like David, like the apostles, who won't just hide in their little comfy little ministries, but who'll go in and out amongst the people and start clearing out pasture for the people of God. If we're faithful to do that, the day will come when we will no longer have to go out, but forever and ever we will be planted as pillars in the temple of God. It's just interesting because in Revelation chapter 3, when Jesus speaks to the church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, he talks about how he's the one who's holy and true, and he's the one who has the key of David, and that he opens doors that no man can shut, and he shuts doors that no man can open. And he talks about how for this church of brotherly love, even though they were small and weak, but because they would not deny his name and they kept the word of his patience, he talks about how he set an open door before them that nobody can shut. You know what I believe? I believe this was a church that went in and out. They went out preaching the gospel, preaching repentance, preaching the word of Christ, clearing territory, establishing new works, raising up men, sending them forth. This was not a stagnant, selfish, self-centered church. And you know what he promises to them in verse 12? He says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. On this earth, we need to go in and out. And if we're faithful to do that, if we're faithful to follow the good shepherd and his example, the day will come one day when we'll be planted forever in the house of our God and we'll never have to go out and fight those battles anymore. Hallelujah. But for right now, we need to go out and fight battles. You know why? Because there are thieves and robbers. Back in verse 8, Jesus said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Now, I'm not exactly sure who exactly Jesus is talking about when he says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. We know he's not talking about the true prophets of God. He's not talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist came before him. But John the Baptist wasn't a thief and a robber. John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Lord, pointing people ultimately to the one who was going to come after. So at this exact moment in history and context, maybe Jesus is referring to all the false messiahs that came before him. We know that during that time there was great anticipation of the Messiah coming, and there were many who had risen up as false messiahs. Gamaliel talks about these men in the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Talks about a Theudas rose up boasting himself to be somebody, and about 400 men joined themselves to him. And then it talks about a Judas of Galilee. The days of taxing drew away much people after him. So maybe Jesus is referring primarily to these men, these false messiahs. And his point is that, all these guys who came before me, claiming to be something, claiming to be the Messiah, trying to draw people unto themselves. By the way, John the Baptist's ministry, the true prophet's ministry, were not trying to draw people unto themselves. They were not trying to get people to put their faith in themselves. They were just trying to get people to turn back to the living God and be true to the Word of God, be true to the law of God that he had given, and stop neglecting and winking and picking and choosing, and truly humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. But there were men who had come before who were trying to draw people unto themselves as if they were the great leaders, as if they were the great, and specifically there were false messiahs. He could also just be, and I think this would refer to all false spiritual shepherds. And I got a bunch of good passages here that you could read. In Isaiah 56, verses 10 through 12, he talks about the blind watchman, the ignorant dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. He talks about their greedy dogs. They can never have enough. They're shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his quarter. These are thieves and robbers. These are not the true shepherds that God raised up to shepherd his sheep. And in Jeremiah 23, he talks about the false shepherds and the false pastors and the false prophets. And he says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." And he talks about how the Lord God of Israel is against the pastors that feed my people. "You've scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them." These are thieves and robbers. There's a lot more in that chapter. It's worth reading. But these are thieves and robbers that are, in fact, it's ironic, thieves and robbers. Later in that passage in verse 30, he says, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor." They were not only extorting from the people for their own gain, but literally, these are the people who are supposed to be representing and speaking on behalf of God, and they're actually stealing the words of God away from the people. Thieves and robbers. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Paul warns the elders of the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, about how after he would leave, grievous wolves would enter in, not sparing the flock. Those are thieves and robbers. And he says, "Even of your own selves, some shall arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves." You know, like the spirit of Diotrephes, that man whom John had to rebuke harshly and come against and warn the beloved Gaius against in 3 John. Men who raise themselves up, lifting themselves up, love to have the preeminence, trying to draw people under the shadow of their wings, quote unquote, so that they can benefit off the flock. He says, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." 2 Peter chapter 2 warns about these false teachers who will bring in the damnable heresies. Men who have eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin. They beguile unstable souls. They've exercised their heart with covetous practices. They're cursed children. They've forsaken the right way. They're gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Jesus said, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." So definitely false messiahs, and definitely false shepherds, false teachers, false preachers, false pastors, false prophets, thieves and robbers. But guess what? Here's the good news in verse 8. He said, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Now listen, we got to believe the words of Christ. You're going to have to make a choice who you're going to believe. Whether you're going to believe your own thoughts, or if you're going to believe the words of Christ. A lot of people oh, he's a good Christian. He's a good guy. He's got a good heart. He just, you know, yeah, he listens to Joel Osteen, or yeah, he listens to Creflo Dollar. Or, yeah, he listens to T.D. Jakes, but he's a good guy, man. He's just a little bit confused. He's got bad teachers. I don't think so. Jesus said that the true sheep of Christ do not follow or give heed to false shepherds or false teachers. We're going to see the true sheep follow Jesus Christ. This is huge. So if you see somebody who's giving heed to and is believing and is drinking in a false shepherd's teaching, a false prophet's preaching, well, according to Jesus, they're not his sheep. Because he says, I'm the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Later, he's going to say, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. And later, he's going to say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, I was hoping to get to verse 10, the thief, why he comes, and Christ, the good shepherd, why he comes. But we've just about run out of time, so I have to save that for next session. But let us lay this to heart. Jesus Christ, he is the door of the sheep. And he is the only way, it's only by him that we can enter in and be saved and become part of the household of God, become part of the true sheepfold. And it's by him that we don't just enter in and be saved, but we go in and out and find pasture. This is the true work of Jesus Christ. This is the type of good shepherd that he was. He wasn't just building comfortable little churches and little ministries whereby people could hide and be scared, like upper rooms where they're locked because, oh no, oh no. Yes, there's sheepfolds. Yes, there's safe places. Yes, but he wants to fill us with his power and his might and his spirit to go in and out and preach this glorious gospel so that other people can come to the door and enter in by him and become part of the sheepfold. Because ultimately, there's only one door for the sheep. It's Jesus Christ. He is the door. He's not one of many doors. There's only one door. Just like in the Garden of Eden, there was only one tree of life, that if they would partake of that tree, they would have everlasting life. Jesus says, I am the door. Now, there's many thieves and robbers. There's many false ways. There's many false shepherds. There's many false religions. But here's the good news. He says, but the sheep did not hear them. Why? Because the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's the good shepherd. The true sheep of Jesus Christ will not follow the voice of the thieves and robbers. They will not follow the voice of strangers. But the true sheep will enter in by Christ's flesh and blood, and they'll be saved, and they'll go in and out and find pasture, being led by the Lord himself, who is our shepherd. He's the one who leads us to green pastures and leads us beside the still waters. For he's the chief shepherd and bishop of our souls, who restoreth our souls, and he leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is session number 66 of the Gospel according to John. It's John chapter number 10, verses 7 through 9. Amen and amen.